Welcome back to Amplified Impact, the podcast, and we are starting a brand new series, Becoming Limitless. What does it take to move beyond the blockages of the mind, to clear the energetic blocks within the body, to ascend to universal source consciousness, where literally babies are birthed, the power that we hold as human beings, to cross beyond the realm of the physical world and into a realm that cannot even be explained? How can we create lives and businesses in the same way that a woman births a child, to get into the body, to clear the way, and to connect the realm that which we cannot see with that which we can touch with our hands. Enjoy. I'm going to go around the world literally and interview leaders, healers, teachers, guides, and mentors, those that I have watched and witnessed become limitless in their own unique way. And it would mean the absolute world to me that if something lands for you in this episode, to screenshot it, tag me, tag the speaker, and let us know your biggest takeaway. And of course, if you're feeling like giving even more, head over to your favorite platform to listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star review to allow another entrepreneur to find this podcast and open up the pathways to becoming limitless in the amount of impact that you can have, in the amount of income that you can create so that your life is full of freedom. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm really excited. Today I have a special guest joining me, Ellie Freestone. This woman, I was reliving my past life thinking about her in the shower and just our journey together. And finding Ellie back when I was in a yoga teacher training in Bali, and then the lifetimes that we've lived since we first met, like, what, 7 years ago, it feels like?
7 years ago. Yeah. I had soul in my belly. Remember? I had soul in my belly on that teacher training.
I know. Body pills. Yes. You were the pregnant one. Like, how?
I was the pregnant one.
7 years ago. So Ellie is a mother. She's a yoga student, yoga teacher. She is a student of naturopathy and someone that I really experienced, like, walking and living her talk. And before we went live, it's like, how are you? And it's like, ooh, that question is so deep. Like, how are you really, right? Not just like the surface level, how are you? And so I'm excited to re-get to know her again, because when you're following someone on Instagram, it's different than like having a deep conversation. So I'm like, let's wait to go deep before we hit record. And welcome, Ellie, right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I just admire you, and I love watching you from the other side too, and just what you have blossomed into and transformed into. So it's a gift to be here and just sharing our hearts about our passions and our loves and our dharma.
Yes, so thank you for having me. Tell me a little bit more, like, what started your story, your journey onto the yogic path, and like the evolution of who you've become? Like, let me get to know you again.
I'll make a really long story really short, but I started my path when I was about 12 years old. My mom introduced me to the path of yoga. I had a little bit of a troubled teenage years, and I could have gone in one direction, and my mom was like, how about you come to yoga? Because I was a dancer, it intrigued me and it brought me straight in. And then as I was moving through the asana, it touched something much deeper to me than the practice itself. Literally, it was the Shavasana and it was the Ujjayi, and those moments of contentment that I didn't even had never felt before. I was just like, what is this? You know, it was just kind of like an experience then. I didn't have a word for it. And of course, I went through my years and dancing in and out of the practice. And then when I hit 18 was when the practice really, really, really landed for me and came into a deep sense of embodiment. And ever since then, I did my first teacher training then. And really, I was showing up every day on the mat, and it was my life. It was it is my life. But that was when my teacher said to me, so when are you going to do your teacher training? When are you joining? And I was like, me? Never. And at that stage, they were 9-month long teacher trainings. They weren't these 1-month intensive. It was 9 months. And at the end of that, when I taught my first class, I was like, this is my purpose. This is what I'm here to do. And being able to offer people those moments of, because life is just so chaotic, right? It is. It's life. There's so much moving pieces, and that's just what it is. But it's how do we find the stillness within all of that? How do we find those moments of pause? And I really feel that gift of, okay, a yoga class is not, it's not everything, right? We all know as teachers or as practitioners that there's so much more than just that yoga practice itself. However, being able to offer those seeds to people, maybe if they've never tried it before, if it's their one gift to themselves that day, for me, it was a gift, and it continues to be a gift that has just blossomed and expanded into more and more through my journey, and then now through motherhood how now being a mother is now my practice. You know, it's like, okay, I went through those moments of not having a physical practice. So how has it now transformed? And what did I grow and learn from that of not being able to go and do 90 minutes or 60 minutes on my mat? Where does the practice continue to come through? And now with my son being 5.5 and having those windows of movement coming back into my universe, but recognizing that life is the practice of yoga. And that's where I stand and I land now. For me, is that everywhere I look and I interact, it's all yoga. It really is. It's really this, you know, we hear that and we say that, but really every moment is how much can we meet ourselves and what's in front of us and be okay, right?
Yeah, I really love what you said about the practice not being so physical. Like, I reminisce on the days that I did 3-5 hours of asana. And now it's like, if I get a 15-minute session in before one of my children wake up, I'm winning, right?
Winning. Winning.
Literally, it's like, oh, just that sacred time. But then it's like, how do I bring that practice into what I'm doing? And that's the union, right? That's the yoking of this existence and the presence of what we're doing. And I know that you do a lot of retreats and teacher trainings and really sharing this practice, not just as the asana, but asana. Going on and living it, I didn't realize how much of yoga was an embodiment practice until it became this word used across the internet. I was like, oh, I've been in my body so much that I didn't even realize that this was an embodiment practice. And it brings me to like the birth, right? Like, you can't give birth and not be in the body.
Oh, I still talk about my birth. Yeah, no, I still talk about my birth. And when people like try and get me to explain it, I'm like, have you ever sat with ayahuasca? It's something that absolutely it's, but yeah, birth for me, it's something that my birth was 4 days long. I don't know. Everyone has a different experience and all of them are beautiful and valid, however they bring life into the world. But I think for me, what that journey has really brought is just how much as humans and how much as women and how much as mothers we can give up, you know, like how much can we actually step into our back body and just begin to hold space for life? And that was a conversation that we had before filming too, was just like being a mother, it's not about you anymore. And that takes a lot of letting go. And I feel like yoga is a big practice of letting go and being okay with letting go. And being and trusting. And that's been, I think that's been my biggest path of yoga through becoming a mother.
I love what you just brought up too about like this ability to hold space, because what I have found being a mother and owning a business and being on this path for myself first is the ability to hold such massive space. And when we're holding space, how does that connect us to our limitless potential in birth, in motherhood, in our business? For you, how has navigating this life now as a mother really connected you to your limitless potential in a way that maybe hadn't before?
I feel like it got to a point that made me realize that we create our own limitations. And so that's something, again, you know, I heard a lot in non-dual teachings and things like that, is about the mind, right? We talk a lot about the mind, and in some topics, you know, the pendulum will swing in so many different directions, but it's not about dismissing the mind. It's actually about befriending the mind and working with it, right? Allowing the whole union of our body and our mind to be in union, recognizing we need it. And so I think when it comes into this sensation of limitless, or this expression of limitless, it's like, well, how can I use every part of myself, recognizing that it's all there? My mind is going to be there. My subconscious is going to be there. Everything I have been through and been exposed to, it's going to be there. But how can I use that as a tool and as a gift to actually allow me to come into the fullest expression of myself, rather than something that takes me away from, right? It's like, how can I use everything that I have and that I have been through to step into my full power? And I think that's through the process of birth and mothering, I have been put in certain situations that I never thought that I would have been in. You know, with becoming a single mother now, I've been a single mom since my son was one and a half, two, and I do probably 90% of the mothering. And that's something, a path I could have never prepared for or thought that I would have been in. But it has allowed me also to realize that everything is in our mind, you know, like it's just the limitation is myself. Once I step out of that, actually, no, I can do it all. And not in a way of I should have to. I don't think that anyone should have to do it all. That's not the key here. But recognizing that the only limitation I have is the one that I place on myself. And it's about getting really in touch with, okay, what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses, and at what areas can I step into my fullest potential, and on what areas that I can call on support, right? And that's been a big one for me as a very hyper-independent person too. You know, it's also recognizing what are the parts of myself that I can call on the support to allow me to go deeper into my strengths. So I think we all have this capacity to be limitless. It's just how much are we allowing ourselves to be?
Yeah, I really love what you spoke to, just to say how much I love you for being able to be a single mom. When I had my son for 1 week by myself, I'm like, how do single moms do it? Like in 1 week, my nervousness is completely shot. So I can only imagine the limits that you hit through that experience, and then the capacity that it took you to tap into the limitlessness where you are actually able to do it all, but you don't have to. You can lean in to support, and it really leans into like this question that I wanted to ask you about, like, what happens when you know that you're getting in your own way? Like, where it's like, yes, we get in our own way, but like, what did you do when you realized that you were hitting your own energetic block, your own limitless potential is being blocked by you?
It's actually really beautiful that you're bringing this up now, because this has actually only been a very recent experience for me, that I've realized that I was my own energetic block, and that I realized actually my exhaustation and my nervous system burnout, because that's what it had led to, of I wanted to pour, and I've always wanted to be a mother. And so my son is my universe, you know. I've wanted to pour everything into him, everything that I possibly could. And for a long time, I thought that I had to put teaching to the side and, you know, put all of these other hats to the side. And I feel like my exhaustion and my burnout was leading to a lot of my blockages and my limitless. And it wasn't until actually quite recently, something quite personal happened to me, but it was like a very pivotal point for me that was like, actually, I have everything I want and I need right now to make what I want in my life happen. And I think when it comes to this conversation of limitless, what keeps coming to me is just the self conversation that we keep having, and how are we paving our way, and how are we going to break that conditioning of moving forward? So yeah, this year was a big year for me. It's been the first year that soul is old enough. You know, I've put my teaching to the side, like I said, for about 6 years, still teaching classes, still doing retreats, still showing up in a way, but not as I was before. And this has been the first year that I've actually stepped into, I can bring my son with me. I am capable of being a teacher. I can take everything that I have learned, and it is useful, and it is, you know, stepping into my power again and paving out this year of going back on Europe tour and coming back teaching internationally, and yeah, using everything that I have been through in my life as this tool of moving forward. So I just, as I spoke to at the beginning, but I just really believe that every experience that we have is a pathway to lead us to the present.
It's so beautiful speaking to the mind and how the mind can either limit us or allow us to connect to something that's so much greater. And congrats on getting back out there, because I know how passionate it is to want to serve and to want to share your dharma and your work with the world, but also knowing like you have a son and you're doing it almost all by yourself, and that takes up so much capacity. But like, how can you integrate those two pieces of you to see the limitless energy that you have when you're sharing your gifts and your passion? And so proud of you. And that's not easy. If you're not a mom, you have no idea. And what I found as becoming a mom, I found so much more compassion for my parents and the challenges
they
took through, right?
Absolutely. Of everything that they endured too.
Yeah.
Of everything they endured, and so much love for the ancestry and my mother and my grandmother, of how much space they held to allow me to flourish as well. And all of my brothers as well. It's just incredible, incredible women. But I think something as well is that from my experience, we all have different experiences, but it's been a very beautiful piece to be able to bring soul into my places of service. So whether that is the studying of naturopathy, of, you know, studying the plant medicine and bringing him in and learning that and not being afraid that it's too much for him or it's not going to be what he wants. If it's not, he'll walk away and he'll play and he'll do his thing, but allowing him to also be a part of it. And same in the yoga class, of rather than thinking he is a disruption to people, actually allowing him to energetically feel, no, you're so welcome in this space, and come into the class with me and teach with me. And same, instead of being, oh no, I can't bring him on tour, I have to get him to stay with my family or stay. Actually, no, you come with me and experience this. And that's the thing as well. It's just like everything and what we have in our life, how can we use it, to bring us to a higher state and welcome our children in, actually, and allow them to be the teacher, allow their innocence and their simplicity and in the way that they see world, how can that actually get us deeper in touch with our true limitless being, like by watching them, like, oh, remember what it was like to be able to say what you felt or do what you wanted and needed.
It's so true, and I love that you bring this conversation up, because that's why I have Ella here in every conversation and every call. And I'm like, I start the call like, hi, if this noise of her talking, because she's in a stage where she wants to be a part of the conversation, I'm like, if it bothers you, let me know. But two, what I have found is like, no, actually, they love that we're breaking this external limit that society has placed, where it's like, you have to choose one, being the mother or being the server, you know, and we get to integrate this and be an example of what it's like to have our children in these conversations at this age. I always think about like, who the heck would I have become if I found yoga when I was younger or when I was in my mom's womb, right? Because he was right. in your womb while you were having these conversations. She was in my womb while we were having these conversations. And so that's huge. And I'm curious Massive. For you now that you don't get the hours of asana and the hours of alone time, like, how do you stay connected to the limitless God source? Like, where the heck do babies come from? Where do we go to? How do you connect to that like abundant frequency of like your birthright is literally creation, whether it's a retreat, mm-hmm. it's money, it's a child, it's a beautiful relationship, it's healing a relationship. Like, all of this is our ability to tap in to the unseen. And I loved those hour-long sacred sessions all by myself. But now it's like having to find those holy moments, even when my son is having a breakdown, even when me and my husband aren't on the same page right now. How do I connect to God in those moments?
That's such a beautiful question, because that's the practice itself. For me, I have found it to be it's religious for me that to wake up at a time before my son wakes up. So it's, he will wake up anywhere between 6:30 and 7 a.m. and it's to the T. You know, I've just been very blessed that that's been his ritual. And so for me, that's my time where I set my alarm for 4:30 or 5 a.m. and I'm awake and I'm in front of the altar. And now this might mean very different things. It might mean 10 minutes in front of the altar, and then I have to cook and I have to clean and I have to get things prepared before he even wakes up. But having a moment to sit before he even wakes up, for me, I feel like changes my whole dynamic and how I show up. So that's the ideal situation, right? If I can sit in front of the altar for 10 minutes or 20 minutes and meditate or do a little bit of movement, that's my ideal situation where I feel like I can come to him as a more connected and collective mama. It's not always the case. So how can I bring him into that? So then he'll wake up and he'll want milk and he'll want this and he'll want that. And what's really working for me at the moment is inviting him into that space of prayer of, how about you, do you want to light the incense? Do you want to, you know, getting him involved into the subtle practices of, okay, rather than starting the day and overwhelming, what are we going to do and how are we going to play and what are we going to do? Like, okay, let's just light the incense. Let's sit in front. Let's ask for what we want. So bringing him in, and I feel like he brings in this fun essence of play into the prayer as well. So that's another way that I like to bring it in. And then there are those moments, like you said, where our babe, our little one, or our partner, or whatever, it's just everything's, I don't know, shit's hitting the fan, literally. And sometimes I hit the fan with the shit too. You know, I'm only human. I hit it and I'm up there with it. But it's, I was having this conversation with some girlfriends over to dinner tonight, and it's about, you know, sometimes we do. We are exhausted and our nervous system is shot and we have had babies pulling at our hair and maybe we aren't feeling so connected with our partner, and then we're thinking about work and we're thinking about this and there's so much going on, and how much can you hold as a mother? And maybe in that moment, maybe you do yell or maybe you say the wrong thing, right? But it's, how do we repair it with our child? And I think that is a very big sacred practice as well, of being able to sit down and say, hey, mommy was feeling this in my acknowledgement, and I'm sorry for the way that that may have made you feel, and I'm sorry, and how can we work at this together? So I think there's a lot of it of, yeah, we can maintain our practices and we can sit in front of the altar and we can incorporate our kids in, and there's many things that we can do, but then there's a reality that sometimes still things just fly up. But how can we meet our children in that same vulnerability and be like, hey, I'm human, you're human, I love you, I'm sorry, that wasn't right, how can we repair this? And teach them that education of repairing and that education of humanness and vulnerability and connection and love, and I'm here and I love you. And, you know, sometimes mommy doesn't have all the right answers either, you know, but you're my greatest teacher and thank you for showing me, and thank, you know, for supporting each other. Always taking a deep breath whenever and there we're in those moments of reactivity when a lot's happening and we can't control sitting into my back body and taking a breath and sometimes saying nothing, it says more than the words itself. Yeah, so to answer your question, I feel like there's so many, like there are many ways that, and that's been the evolution of time of becoming a mother too, is that every day is different. Every day, and it's about not beating myself up on those days that I don't get to wake up before my son and get myself together. And it's not beating myself up on the days that, okay, maybe I am overexhausted and I need to do the wrong thing. But it's about how can I bring it all together at the end of the day? How can I keep trusting myself of and reflecting at the end of every day too, of being like, okay, I could have done better. I could have moved into my back body and taken a deeper breath in that situation. I could have, and this constant reflection of, and but then also holding myself in a space of compassion of like, you're doing a really good job. Even just the fact that you're reflecting, it's like you're doing a really good job and let's just do better tomorrow. You know, it's not this conversation of beating myself up. And so I think that that's also a connection to a higher sense of God, is how can we continue to hold ourselves to in the sense of compassion and teach our children to do the same thing, the sense of compassion and vulnerability and patience, communication. It's not always there, but how do we continue to cultivate it in these seeds of moments that we have, that we, sit in our back body and we do recognize. I'm not sure if that answered your question.
How you brought in the humanness and the connection to God, right? Because we are universal source spirit consciousness and we are human. And so something that you spoke of as like, I hit the fan, shit hits the fan, is like in yogic philosophy, they talk about Leela, divine play, being prepared for when shit hits the fan, because you are a human and things will happen. Shit will come up. You will respond to your child rather than, you will react rather than respond. And it's like, how in those moments can you be compassionate with your human leader, bringing the awareness to like, I wish I would have done it differently. How can I take a deep breath next time? And so for those of you listening, like, yes, it's beautiful to have sacred God moments in any embodiment, somatic prayer, meditation practice that you have. But on the days that you don't, how do you integrate it into what it is that you're doing? Whether you're incorporating your child, you're incorporating it on your way somewhere, you're incorporating it in the seconds in between the doing, so that you have that moment to be, because it's, you know, God source, universal consciousness, it's in between the inhale and it's in between the exhale. And it's in every moment that we just stop and realize that we're so much bigger than this physical world. Because if we weren't, where do babies come from, right?
Like, absolutely.
How do we create humans if we're not a part of something so much bigger? And how can we connect to that energy and frequency when we are in the creation of our own life? And it's really looking at, like you said, Ellie, like, what am I thinking that's blocking me? What am I thinking that I'm feeling in my body that's actually limiting me, that I can't do it all? I can serve my clients and bring my son. I can have a beautiful XYZ and show up and serve my clients. You get to do, be, and have it all when you really see that you have to tap into the mind, body, spirit connection. Whether you're creating impact, whether you're creating income, whether you're creating babies, the only way that we can do that is when the mind, the body, and the spirit are in coherence, in deep connection. Mm-hmm. And the human is what takes you out. The human is what blocks you from your limitless potential. And so for you, Ellie, bringing, before we wrap up here, you bringing soul into your sacred teachings, into your business, into your retreats, like, what does it mean for you to have a legacy? What are you wanting to leave behind for your son, your clients, like after you're gone, like this limitless connection that you have anytime you tap into your birthright, like, what do you want the world to remember you as?
When I have a feeling of like, how do I want people to fall asleep at night? You know, or how do I want my son to fall asleep at night at the end of every day? And it was a comment that I don't know if we were recording yet when I spoke to you, but contentment is what comes up for me. beyond anything else, beyond success, beyond abundance, beyond any, of course, I want everyone to feel that. Everyone deserves to feel that. But ultimately, I would love for people to feel a sensation of contentment. And if I can put my son to sleep at every night with him feeling at ease and at peace and content with what he has or has not done in that day, or the ways that he has or maybe has not met himself, I feel like people, and even my students, and whenever I offer a class, that sensation of them leaving feeling contentment, whatever they have come in with, whatever they have to go home to, feeling so deeply integrated in themselves, I think is one of the greatest gifts we can experience. Because isn't that what we're all looking for? It's not about how much we have or we don't have, how much we give or how much we don't give, how much we're always on this scale. We're always trying to scale our life, right? But it's like, okay, but what do I have right now? And how can I find a sense of deep ease and contentment with who I am and with what I have in this exact moment, with having dreams, having goals, of course, having abundance, as I said, but meeting ourselves in that space of ease and peace. And so I think if I touch my students and I can offer them tastes of contentment, or offer practices of contentment, or words that allow them to touch that space of santosha, and my son and the people that I have around me, I think for me that's the greatest gift in the universe, is allowing people to feel that they're enough just as they are.
So relaxing to my nervous system to hear you. It's like, because what happens if we don't find peace and contentment in where we are and what we have? We're always in the chase for more, something better, something different. So when you get more abundant, when you get more success, when you get more clients, when you get more XYZ, it never feels like it's enough, because you didn't start from a grounded place of like, I already have everything that I need, which is something that you spoke to in your own experience when you were going through a limitless, like a limited place in your life, was this acknowledgement and awareness that everything I have right now is enough, and everything that I have right now is what I need in this moment. And that's what attracts us to more from a place of fulfillment and optimal alignment. So I love that. How can you leave this episode today finding santosha, finding commitment, contentment in your life as it is now? Because it doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It means, how can I find the imperfect and be okay with what is now? So thank you for this rich conversation. Those of you that are listening, like, walk away with, what does contentment feel like in my body? How can I find peace in this moment? What can I do to find ease when shit hits the fan? Because it's not about things being perfect. It's finding the God holy moments in the imperfection, that which is our human existence. So Ellie, thank you for being here. We've talked about doing this podcast for over 3 years.
Long time.
My son was coming into the world and it's here.
But it's perfect timing. Yeah, it's exactly It's exactly as it's meant to be. And I just wanted to offer that too, of whether you're coming, you're listening into this and you're coming into leadership, or yeah, you're offering to your clients. I think, yeah, once I really leaned into my back body of contentment and leaned into that exhale within every moment, then the abundance happened, right? It's like, how much more can we trust ourselves? And then the dharma comes, then that your true purpose comes, and then you attract from that. Right? Yeah. So I
just said, Ellie, too, because for those of you listening that don't know, like, your back body is your connection to universal source, God. Your front body is connection to me, mine, I. The lower chakra centers are your connection to survival, me, mine, I. But once you hit the heart, it's the bridge to the limitless power. So when you lean into your back body, you ascend up and through the crown chakra, connecting to all the abundant success, everything that you desire, where babies come from, wherever we go to, like, that's your birthright. So when you lean back, as Ellie's mentioned many times, how can I lean back into the we? How can I lean back into the we and see that everything I already have is enough. Ellie, share how they can come and find you, come follow you, learn more about your work for one of your retreats.
You can find me on Instagram at Ellie Freestone Yoga. I'm also teaching online on an app called Four Mode. So I have some online classes on there and some online series that you can find. I'm hosting a couple of different retreats this year. I have a yoga and meditation retreat in Tuscany. I have a surf and yoga retreat over on the Mentawise. And all of my retreats that I like to offer come from a space of balance. So everything that you learn is something that you can take home with you. And it's just about arriving as yourself, exactly as you are, and leaving even deeper connected to exactly who you are. So everything you find will be online, and please reach out and contact. I love to meet new people, hear from new people, and continue to build this beautiful bridge of connection and community, and how we can all continue to support and love and hold each other and come from that space. So beautiful to connect with you, Amber, and so grateful to have this moment with you, and to also listen to your wisdom and how you reflect. It's like a sacred mirror reflection. So thank you. It's so beautiful to see you with your little babe.
For those of you who listen to the podcast, Ella's here. She's in my arms. She's like, Mommy, I'm here. Okay. What I want to say is, if you're listening to this and something lands, be sure to share a clip on social media, tag both of us, let us know what really landed in your body, what you're taking away, what you're going to implement. And I will be sure to put all of Ellie's links in the description below so you can check out where she's at, what she's up to. And we will talk to you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.